What's going on, gamers? Welcome back to The Graveyard. I'm The Graveyard Gamer, and thank you for joining me for 2023's first episode of Graveyard Gaming. And in today's episode, I want to talk about those 2022 games that I missed that slipped right through my fingers that I still think look really good, and I'd like the chance to get to play them at some point. Then I want to go over my game plan. Now, the important part of this is I don't want to step on any of those gaming goals that I talked about last week. So I'm trying to figure a new way to kind of have my cake and eat it too, if you go by that old expression. And then I kind of want to throw out a few games that, you know, honestly, if I got a chance to play them this year, it'd be really cool. And I'm also going to talk about all those games I got under my Christmas tree. Actually, I shouldn't say all. It's not a huge list. But I want to talk about the games that I actually did get for Christmas. Because I know about a month ago, I told you, hey, these are the games I'm requesting. Here's what I ended up with. And then, of course, we will go over the Graveyard Shift. And I'll tell you all that I've been playing over the last week. So with that being said, let's talk about those 2022 games that slipped right through my fingers. Alright gamers, so when it comes to 2022 games that I missed, understand some of these games are games that came out at a bad time for me. They came out, I wasn't able to pick them up, so I never got to them. Some of these games came out, and honestly, I just wasn't that interested until word of mouth hit. And some of these games I absolutely wanted to play, but again, it just didn't happen for whatever reason. And I hope to pick up maybe in 2023, maybe on down the road, you know, but that's the sad thing about games when we miss them. It seems like if we don't get a game in a certain launch window, it gets harder to go back to it. Why? Because there's always another game dropping. So if you don't pick it up now and you go, I'll pick it up a few months later, something else drops. But it is what it is. Let's look at the list. And the number one is Sifu. And this is probably one of the biggest games on this list that I really feel bad that I missed out on. Because I'll tell you what, at the end of 2021, when you started seeing those little clippets on Twitter, I just sat there and said, man, this looks like John Wick minus the guns. Like the kung fu action looked insanely good. I was so into it. Then you found out it was kind of roguelike. You know, like if you get through a level and you die, you have to repeat that level. However, you get a little bit older. And when you get older, things get a little bit easier. You get a little bit better at defense, maybe some better runes to mess with. Whatever it may be, there's a complexity to the combat and to the system that I really got interested in. I really genuinely do hope this is a game that I pick up this year because, again, it just looks different. I mentioned in my gaming goals episode, Marvel Midnight Suns, another game I haven't played yet, but it's a game that I want to try out this year because I want to play a game that's a different genre, if you will, than I'm used to. Well, Marvel Midnight Suns is that card-based style gameplay that I haven't played. Sifu also kind of, you know, calls to that goal because it's that roguelike that I've never really experienced. Don't really know if I'd like it, but I definitely think I want to give it a shot. Next up on the list is the game that has got all the praise this year, and that is Elden Ring. To be honest with you, the only game from Software that I've actually played is Bloodborne. I put a couple hours into that game, honestly, and I got through the first area. However, let me just say I didn't finish the first area, because I think you have to get into a sewer. I didn't realize that. I took out the mini-boss in the level, I took out all the enemies, took me time and time again, dying and retrying, trying a different way, finally got to it. And I just didn't know I had to go in a manhole cover. That's something my roommate at the time actually is the one that told me, dude, you were right there, you just missed it. So what ended up happening is as I was running around, there was one enemy that I had missed, and I just ran by a car or some kind of debris, I can't remember, and he popped out and he hit me, and it was enough to kill me. And when it happened, at that point, everything reset, all the enemies back up, but my health was still low, my healing items were down, like, you know, all that stuff happened. It was like, I'm down to having to restart this game, and I just couldn't do it. So the idea of doing another game like that just doesn't interest me. However, I've heard so much good things about Elden Ring. I've heard the world design, the way the story is done, the combat again, everything about it is done. Let me just say that Bloodborne, I reckon it was an extremely well-built game. It's just I don't have that patience. But with Elden Ring, I've heard being open world allows you to kind of play through an area that's, you know, right at your challenge level. And once you kind of master it, then you might be able to go to a tougher area or an area that was tougher for you before, excuse me, and be able to get past it at this point. So that kind of makes it a little bit more interesting. This is a game that I had the opportunity to check out from a local library and play and at least get my, you know, my taste buds wet. So at least let me know, is this something I want to play or should I stay away from it? So definitely something I hope this year I get to at least try out. Then there was Ghostwire Tokyo, and I got to tell you, I had no interest in this game. And then my good friend Hulking Yoda from Lost at Sea Gaming, you heard me talk about it before, great gaming podcast right here on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, all the podcast hosting sites, good friend of the show, he played it. He's got his review out. He talked so highly about it. And it just kept getting me more and more interested. And I'll be honest, even when he first started talking about it, I was like, okay, all right, whatever. But the more and more he spoke, the more I was like, okay, I kind of want to try it out. So maybe that's a game I'll get to this year. The next one on the list, man, I gotta tell you, is Sniper Elite 5. And in 2021, I finally played Sniper Elite 4. It was my first time playing a game in this Sniper Elite series. And I gotta say, I do like Strange Brigade. I do like Zombie Army. But it was the first time to really get into the actual Sniper Elite series. And I was blown away. I love Sniper Elite 4. You can definitely check out my review. So when Sniper Elite 5 was coming out, I was like, yo, that's the game I want to play. Unfortunately, this is a game that came out at a bad time for me. I was away from my family and I didn't have a chance to pick it up and whatnot. So it's just slowly just kept missing me by. I haven't got a chance to play it yet, but I want to rectify that. Because I got to tell you, if you've never played Sniper Elite, they're so fantastic. It honestly, I've said it before many times, it's a mix of the Hitman style gameplay and Metal Gear Solid 5. It's fantastic. I was kind of on the fence about playing them because I thought they would just be sniping games, but they're not. They are setting traps. They are hand-to-hand combats. You can get close. It's just you can also snipe, and the sniping is so well done. So definitely a game I hope to get to this year. Then there was The Quarry, and I got to tell you something. Oh, I wanted to play The Quarry. This is a spiritual sequel to Until Dawn, one of my favorite PlayStation 4 titles by Supermassive Games. I mean, it's just... it's such a good game. If you never played Until Dawn, stop what you're doing, go play that game. And this, unlike their Dark Pictures anthology, is more kind of in line with that. And my good friend, again, Hulk and Yoda, talked about how much he loved it. It's made me want to play it. And here's the bad thing about this one. This one, for months now, I have had the option to just walk into the library, pick it up, and play it. And I haven't done it yet. I keep getting, you know, picking up other games. The Death Stranding, you know, PS5 edition, Ghost of Tsushima, now God of War. But I want to make time, and this is one that I absolutely can say, I will make time in 2023 to play The Quarry. It's not that long of a game, should be a rental, should be able to knock it out, but just got to get a little bit of a break in gaming of these massive games to play it. But I definitely want to play that one. And then there's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, and I have a good excuse for this one. Number one, I just wasn't in a place to download it. Number two, I don't have anybody to play with. Like, the fun of these old school beat-em-up games is playing with a friend. I'd be playing on PS5. I know my good friend Hulk and Yoda is playing on the Xbox when he gets a chance to play it. And to be honest with you, after dipping into the Cowabunga collection recently, this style of gaming seems like it would be a blast. So maybe I'll get a chance to play it. Maybe my kid will want to play it and we can try it out that way. But either way, I definitely think that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, oh man, I got to get to that. I really hope I get to it. You know, that old school style is just so much fun. And by the way, check out my Cowabunga Collection review dropping next week. And then I have Saints Row, and here's the deal. I loved Saints Row the Third. I thought Saints Row 4 was actually really good. This is the soft reboot, if you will, of the series. In fact, it's not too hard to say it is a full reboot of the series. However, I gotta be honest with you, I've heard it's kind of an empty world. I heard it's not just, it doesn't have that same, you know, I don't know, it factor, if you will, that grips you like the previous Saints Row game. So I've kind of been off put by it. I actually didn't really kind of push a lot for it for a Christmas game. So I don't know. I think this is another game that my local library has that I can try out. It's just, it's kind of tougher when I know it's a bigger world, because then it's like, how far can I really get in a graveyard shift over the course of a week in a game that's, you know, 30 hours. So definitely one I'd like to try out, but it's another game that I kind of was getting hyped. And then ironically enough, it was the developer videos. All the previews were looking cool till the developers started talking about the game. I started getting more and more bored watching those videos. So I don't know, man, but I do feel like it's a game, probably a rough gym is probably what I consider this game. And then finally, the last game I'm going to mention is Evil West. I don't know, man. I wish I could tell you what it is about that game that I think looks cool. Fighting vampires, you got that cool little style. You got that awesome Devil May Cry style, crazy arcadey action. All of that is just checkmark. I want to play it. But I haven't got a chance to. Another good reason for that is because I've got God of War sitting on my lap, and I just can't break away to play another game right now. And gamers, one last thing I'd like to talk about is some games that I'd like to play in 23. Now, these are not part of my gaming goals, like Sleeping Dogs or Arkham Knight. And these are also not games that I am like rushing that I absolutely am going to make a point to. But if the option and the availability came out that I could play it, I'd like to. The first one on that list is Vampyr, and I don't own Vampyr. It's something that I'm going to have to try out, but I love the idea of a World War I setting in London, and you're actually the vampire. I think that sounds extremely interesting. I like the fact that it's somewhat RPG. I also like the fact that you have a choice, you know, a moral compass, if you will, in the game of, hey, who do you feed on? You need to feed to get, you know, the upgrades and build up, make yourself stronger. Can you go? How far can I go in the game without feeding? And when I have to make that choice, who am I going to go with? I love the kind of style of talking to people from what I've seen in previews to kind of build up enough of a rapport to realize, are they a dirtbag or are they a good person? And does that really matter? Who do I need to feed off of? Am I going to go evil and just feed off of everybody, or am I going to be selective? I don't know. I like that idea. It's been on my mind a lot. I actually recently read Salem's Lot by Stephen King, so this whole vampire stuff is in my head. I just talked about Evil West, so a lot of stuff there, but Vampire is one I definitely would like to be able to play in 23. And then I'd also like to try out Devil May Cry 5. Now, I did about a year ago play about 30 minutes, and I really enjoyed it. And back in the day, I did really enjoy Devil May Cry 1, 2, and 3. I never played 4. I never played the kind of the reboot from like 2013, I believe. But Devil May Cry 5, I actually was gifted it earlier in the year. I haven't even touched the thing, though, since I've been gifted it. I just know I like the 30 minutes I played earlier. It'd be worth jumping into and just having fun with, man, trying out. And then finally, another game that I was kind of gifted, and I had no idea what this game really was. I mean, people have talked about it for years, but that is Nier Automata. And I have sat there, and I had a roommate when I was away from my family. Me and him were talking, and he loved it. He played through it like 5 times to get all the endings, and he was telling me how awesome it is, the gameplay, the story, the cinematics, all that stuff. And it's really just got me interested to give this game a shot. Now, again, all three of these games, in fact, I don't even own Vampyr, like I said, but all three of these games I would like to get a shot to, but I'm not putting them like high on that list of like, I've got to play these games, but they're just those kind of like, quote unquote, want to games. If I get around to it, if I got a break in gaming, cool, I'd like to slide these in. But let's be real, a lot of that comes down with how I act out my game plan. So let's talk about my game plan. So gamers, before I jump into the game plan, let me tell you what I got under the Christmas tree, because I didn't get a lot. I only got 2 games, and one is a non-factor. The non-factor is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Cowabunga Collection. And the reason it's not a non-factor is it's a Switch game. My wife picked this up. She's seen how much I've been loving renting it when I was playing it, so she wanted me to have my own copy. Awesome. But being that it's a Switch game, it doesn't take up the graveyard shift. I play Switch at a different time, so therefore it's not really impacting the backlog. The other game she got me was Gotham Knights on the PS5. And I gotta tell you, I'm excited to jump into that game and play it. Well, that kind of sets a conundrum for me. And this is where the game plan comes in. This is also where my gaming goals come into play as well. See, one thing I talked about is I didn't want to reestablish a backlog. I didn't want to get like too deep in a bunch of games I want to play. But I also don't want to be laser sharp focused on one single game. So for the benefit of this conversation, and understand I overthink this stuff, absolutely, but hey, I want you guys to kind of get an idea of what I'm thinking, because I also like to have a game plan. I like to kind of plan it out, and look, hey, if you don't feel like playing the game, you don't play the game. You pivot, right? But at the end of the day, I like having some kind of idea of how I'm going to play through my games. It allows me to kind of feel pretty cool, pretty focused about what I'm playing. So I have what I consider my primary focal game, and then other focal games. And these are the main games, games that I haven't beat that I want to play, right? So right now you have God of War Ragnarok, I have Plague Tale Requiem, and I now have Gotham Knights, right? I don't want to get any other game, primary game, brand new game until I've completed these games. I just don't want to grow that backlog. But then I also have what I consider side quest games, if you will. Now, these are games, maybe I've beaten them and I just want to go back and beat the side content, like, for example, Lost Judgment. Maybe it's a replay I want to do, like Assassin's Creed Rogue, or it's something like WWE 2K22, which is just my ongoing game I have fun with, whether it be universe mode, my career mode, whatever, and I want to set time aside for that as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have my primary focal game, right? That one game that I'm absolutely committed to beating right now, that is going to be God of War Ragnarok. But my other focal game is going to be Plague's Tale. Now, the reason I say this is Gotham Knights is another open world game. I don't want to kind of combine the two together, if you will. God of War and Gotham Knights, I think that's just a lot going on. But Plague's Tale is different. It's linear. I'm thinking it's probably going to take me close to 20, maybe 25 hours to beat. That's more digestible than another 40 to 50 hour open world game to play through. So what I'm going to do is my primary focal game, God of War, is going to be Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. And then my secondary focal game, Plague's Tale, is going to be Tuesday and Thursdays. And what I do, I get about 2 hours on each graveyard shift. I'm going to focus the time on those games on those days. However, when you got my secondary games, my side quest games, if you will, like for example, WWE, I'm getting really into the universe mode. Well, what I'll do is I'll take maybe an hour on Wednesday away from God of War, maybe an hour from Plague's Tale on Tuesday, whatever it may be, just to get those times in. Sometimes that'll happen, sometimes it won't. So that's my game plan going into the future. I'm still putting a lot of time into my primary focal game of God of War. I don't want to feel like I'm getting gypped of it or I'm not getting to focus on it, because I am. But I'm also allowing myself to play these other games that I don't want to grow this backlog, so I want to get into Plague's Tale. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, I just feel like if I just focus on God of War, I'm going to see Plague Tale sitting there going, I want to play this game. And it's going to be a disservice to God of War, because I'm going to want to try out Plague's Tale. And then it could even grow to be a disservice to Plague's Tale, because, for example, when Star Wars Jedi Survivor drops and I want to buy that, when I've got these other games sitting on my backlog, I got to clear some space. So it's a way to allow me to kind of have my cake and eat it too, as I mentioned. It also allows me to get into some of those games like WWE, or kind of do a little bit more on the side of Lost Judgment, whatever it is, and just kind of have a more fuller graveyard shift throughout the week. So a lot to kind of get in there. And again, I know I overthink that, but I'm hoping when you see on these episodes, as I talk about what I did on my graveyard shift, it becomes a nice blend. But I think that'll make, one, make the show more interesting, but two, it'll actually kind of really kind of improve my time playing through all these games, as you're getting a good dose of each of them, but I'm also taking a break and I'm coming back. So I don't know. That's my thoughts. Hopefully it doesn't get too bogged down, but again, we'll see how it plays out. So Gamers, the Graveyard Shift this week has been a lot of fun. And I gotta say, it's not gonna be too surprising when I tell you that I spent a good amount of time in God of War Ragnarok, but look, I had so much fun with it. So let's start off. I was in the realm of Svartalfheim, and the whole point of that is to get a new weapon, because I have to take down Heimdall, who they kind of tell you, like, look, here's the deal. He can see everything coming, so you need a different type of weapon. And I thought it was really cool. You're traveling around with Brock and Mimir, and I loved it, man. I love the interactions with your companions in this game and just the different stories. And it actually becomes very personal for Brock at one point, because as he's guiding you to get to this weapon, and you get there and you find out that this mermaid, the lady, is going to make it for you. And he is so honored to actually get a chance to speak with her. But a kind of a side note here, when he goes to speak to her, she won't. And the reasons is something I'm not going to get into, but it ties back to what Atreus and Sigurd talk about earlier in the game. And the effect on Brock is just, it's really cool. And the way Kratos handles it is so well done. I thought it was just a great moment in this game. A small moment, but a great moment. But what is that weapon, you might be wondering? It is the drop in your spear. And it is a spear that is awesome, I'm going to be honest with you. But let me just say this. There is one, I don't know if it's an Easter egg or not, but let's just say you're sitting there, and to get the mermaid to kind of finish the spear, she needs a bit of your blood. Well, she takes a prick of it, and you see a little bit of blood go up, and she moves her hand, and it makes the symbol, the Omega symbol, that is so synonymous with God of War. And I thought that was cool. Then she moves her hand, and it makes like an inverted V, and it made me go, man, what is that? Is that a hint to something to come down the road? Is that something I'm forgetting that maybe kind of was shown in 2018's game or any of the past games? I don't know, so I'm very curious how that plays out going forward. But ultimately, you get this spear, and I gotta say, I was loving this spear. Because here's the deal. A lot of times in games, I'm gonna go with Assassin's Creed, only because they tend to always have a spear for a combat weapon. And I'm okay with them, I enjoy them, but they're not my style. You know, especially when you think about it in God of War itself, you have the axe that's a little bit heavier, but has so much versatility in fights, or the Blades of Chaos that is just swinging around and this fast stuff. So when you go to a spear, you're like, is this gonna be that great? I gotta tell you something, it's a blast. First off, the coolest move it does is it can be used as a ranged weapon, meaning you can sit there, aim it, and throw it at one of the enemies. But here's the cool thing. It doesn't get rid of the spear. Like, for example, with the axe, when you throw the axe is gone till you bring it back. No. With the spear, you can throw it up to 5 times, and you can upgrade this to get even more. But they're kind of like make duplicates of the spear, if you will, and it sticks into the enemies. You hit triangle, and however many you've thrown out all explode at once. So if you throw 2 or 3 in one enemy, you're going to cause massive damage. On top of that, there's different skills you can unlock, with one ability where you start swinging the spear, and as you're swinging it, if you're hitting R1 while Kratos is doing it, your timing lines up, causes massive damage as well. So all of that, I was enjoying it. I was actually having a lot of fun with the combat, and just those three weapons now, the Leviathan Axe, the drop in your spear, and the Blades of Chaos, they just all add something to the game. You know, like, it's some reason to love all of them, you know. And the one thing that I have to say that I think they do so well in this game is, well, maybe not the Blades of Chaos. I think the Blades of Chaos, you know, it does have some puzzle elements to it, some environmental interaction. The Leviathan Axe has a ton. I love that. But with this new spear, it does things to kind of help you get to new areas in the game, and I think that's awesome. For example, if you've seen like rocks and they're kind of glowing, but you can't do anything about them, if you throw that spear into them and then you hit that triangle to make it explode, that might create a new path. Or if you see like steam or water squirting out the side of a rock, if you throw that spear, it may stick into it, allowing you now to use the kind of handle, if you will, of the spear to either get somewhere higher or swing across a ravine, whatever it may be. So I've definitely been enjoying that part of the game. And by far, it's been one of those weeks that I love because here's the thing I love about God of War the most, and that is the exploration. You can talk about the combat, the story is amazing too, but it's those moments where you kind of finish your main quest and then you hear Mimir say, "Well, we can go back or you can just explore the realm." I'm always going to choose to explore the realm because that's where you get a lot of the cool side conversation. And just in general, the fun of this game is exploring and seeing new things, seeing if you can figure out how to get past a certain area. So I did that. And with Svartalfheim, I'm happy to say that I think from the first time I went into that area, I was probably at like 60. I'm at now like 92% done. Some of it I can't do right now. It's undiscovered. And typically that kind of says that, hey, if you've explored everywhere and you don't see anything, there's probably going to be some side quest. There's probably going to be something that's going to pop up later on in the game. So I'll see as I move forward. I did run into three different Berserker fights. I'm happy to say I was able to complete the first one. The second and third one, I didn't stand a chance. In fact, the second one I went to, the health of the Berserker was actually in the purple, which lets you know that, hey man, two or three hits and they're going to kill you. They're a high enough challenge that maybe some really skilled players can, and maybe I could too, but it's going to be a very frustrating long fight. So I ultimately decided, you know what, I'm going to come back. I'm going to play this smart. I can't clear out the realms completely. So let me just go, let me get geared up, do better, and come back. The third fight that I went to, I had no chance, man. When I went in there, it was two versus one with two Berserkers fighting me. And ultimately, they both had red health bars, which say, hey man, one hit, you're dead. And I can say that what happened, one hit, and they killed me. But ultimately, I was loving Svartalfheim. I was just loving exploring, hearing the stories with Freya and Mimir talking to me. I thought it was cool. From there, you go back to Brock and Sigrid's house, and you end up saying, I'm gonna go for a rest. And Kratos is, I think, mentally and physically worn out at this point. I think he's very upset that he doesn't have Atreus back, and just not knowing all the unknowns, I think, is wearing on him. And he, as he takes his gear off and he lays down, he starts to have this dream. I believe it's a dream vision, one of the two, with Faye, his wife, and young baby Atreus, and they're going down the river, right? That you kind of go through in the first game. And as they're sitting there talking, you get the understanding that as the dream kind of ends, Faye is sitting there saying, you have to protect him, you have to protect him. And that wakes Kratos up, and he's just staring at his hands, which, by the way, the details are awesome because you can see the burn marks from where those blades of chaos were kind of etched and burned and bound to his forearms. But as he's sitting there staring at his hands, I couldn't help but think that this is Kratos kind of internalizing, I'm a god, I have all these abilities, but I can't save my son. I've got to save my son. So I definitely thoroughly enjoyed that. From there, you switch over to Atreus. I'm not going to get into what Atreus is doing at this moment. I don't want to spoil too much of the game story and whatnot. But I really was interested into seeing what's going to happen. I'm excited because you get a new companion to kind of explore a new realm with, Helheim. However, that's kind of where I paused it because I wanted to switch over to another game, and that is Plague's Tale Requiem. See, I talked about, like, I want to make sure this year I don't get so focused on just one game because a game like God of War is so massive. There's so much to do that if I just play that game, it's going to take me a while anyway. I want to make sure I make time for other games. It's fair to God of War for not getting frustrated and kind of like, oh, I gotta get to it to play these other games. And it's fair to Plague's Tale to actually get to start this game and enjoy it. So I started Plague's Tale. I only got about 3.5 hours into it this week, but I gotta say, I was absolutely loving what is going on with this story. So, first off, visually beautiful. And there's like a chrome look to the visuals. You can really see this when you go into photo mode. It's got a really good photo mode. I mean, it's not my favorite. I do like when you can position characters and facial features and things like that, but this has got a really good one. And you can just kind of see it's got this chrome look to it that you can kind of heighten or lower. So just be aware of that. But just staring out at the world, it is gorgeous. The character models are great. Just the environments are beautiful. That's the first thing that strikes my mind. But the game starts off and you playing as Amicia and your little brother Hugo and then your friend Lucas from the first game, you're kind of just playing a kid's game. You know, you're playing pretend, and that leads to some fun conversation, a little game of hide and seek, which is kind of showing you the basics of the game. Eventually, though, your exploration turns into something negative and you start getting attacked, right? You're kind of in a spot where, again, they're gonna teach you how to use stealth, and it just leads to some really interesting story stuff. Hugo gets knocked out, and that sends him to this island. And it's kind of a dream, but it's kind of made think that, hey, if you can find this island, he can be cured. I don't know how that's going to play off. It's very interesting to see you come back, and then you get into a really good spot where, and this visually look cool, right? These farmers are after Amicia, and she's separated from everybody, and everything's on fire, and it just shows just how beautiful this game is. Well, once you get past that, you get to a new area, a new town with a cool little market, and you can go around, you can explore. It's like a carnival type thing going on, and I thought that was just so fun. Like, there's just bits of levity in this game that, to me, kind of helped build Hugo and Amicia as characters, right? Hugo's so excited to see everything, and Amicia's so excited to show him and whatnot, and they ultimately just seem happy that, hey, it seems like we finally have a break from all the bad stuff, right? The plague and everything going out in the world is still happening, but in this town, they seem to be kind of protected. At least that's what it seems like on the surface. However, once you get to the house you're going to stay at, you're going to be working or under the care of this lord in the area, if you will, who's, I'm assuming, is either a big part of the order you're with, or he's actually kind of a physician of some sort. But either way, you're going to his castle, to the home that he set up for you. And at that point, a really interesting thing starts happening. Amicia, I thought at first maybe it was some PTSD from all the stuff she's been through, but she's staring off, and it's like you can hear the voices and the memories and all this stuff starts playing. And I'm starting to wonder, oh no, is something wrong with Amicia at this point? Well, then all of a sudden, your mom calls out Hugo is basically turning into, he's got the red veins and all those different markings that let you know things are going bad. As they're essentially saying that he's getting close to going through another threshold. In the first game, they said once he got to the third one, that would be it for him. So you're very, very frantic, and they send you off to go find that lord that you're supposed to. And at that point, I think, is when the game really kind of says, okay, hands off, you're going to use some stealth here. And man, I got to one point in the game, and it was probably the first real challenge, you know, where they really kind of took the gloves off. And you get to this big area, and there's an archer looking out, there's multiple enemies everywhere, and you really have to decide how you're going to get by it. Your timing has to be good. Where you throw, you know, your strategy has to be on point. And look, this is also smart AI. So for example, if you sit there and you hide under a table and wait for the AI to walk past, and then you go to run up some stairs, you might want to duck and make sure you hide behind something, because he's going to turn around. And if he sees you, it's not a matter of you being too far away. He's going to go crazy on you. So I loved it. I thought it was very smartly done. It took me a little while, but eventually I was able to get past it. And at that point, it popped up and told me, hey, there's three play styles to this game. Either very stealthily, very aggressive, or a mix between both. And your part of this game is to actually try to max out all three of them. That is one of the trophies in the game that you need to get the platinum trophy. So definitely really interesting stuff. But that's as far as I made it. But that little bit had me go, oh man, this is going to be such a good game. You guys should know that I love Plague's Tale. It was my favorite game that I played in 2021. So playing through Requiem has already, only three and a half hours, has already proven to be just fantastic. So I can't wait to keep pushing forward with that. And the final game that I got a little bit of time in, not a ton, and that was Super Mario Odyssey. When I last played the game, I was in the Wooded Kingdom, and I hadn't done the boss fight. So I actually progressed through, did the boss fight. I will say that I think they're fun boss fights. They're, you know, really good for a platformer, but they are very similar. Like, there's not too much difference between the different boss fights. That's not to take away anything from it, but there's just not a variety. So just be aware of that. After that, I went through, I cleaned up, got a few more moons. I definitely think there's more that I just haven't come across, but I tried to get as many as I could, and it pops up and tells you there's a secret garden. So it took me a while. The Wooded Kingdom, to me, has probably been my least favorite kingdom. I think visually, there's a lot of cool looks to it, but I also think it's kind of the my least favorite to try to just get around, if that makes sense. But I found the secret garden. You get another boss fight in there that I thought was a lot of fun. So I did that, got some more moons, and then I departed. I decided, okay, that's enough on the Wooded Kingdom. I, you know, hey man, I just wasn't thoroughly enjoying exploring. I had enough moons. Let's go to the next kingdom. and I got to the Cloud Kingdom, and I gotta say, visually, it looks awesome. However, I didn't start playing it. I saved it, and that's kind of honestly when I went to sleep at that point. But either way, I thought it was just a fantastic graveyard shift, and I can't wait to get back to Plague's Tale Requiem, get a little bit more in that story, that tense, like just, oh man, you gotta be on point. Gameplay is just awesome. I can't wait to see where it goes. And at the same time, I am so excited to get back into God of War and see what this next chapter is. Because with God of War, I am now on chapter 11 out of 17. So I'm starting to slowly catch up. I felt like I was so far behind in God of War, but now I'm starting to get there. You know, I'm over the halfway point. I'm starting to kind of get into that last bit of the game, so I am just super, super stoked. Well, gamers, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'd love to know what games of 2022 that you missed out on that you hope to get to this year. I'd love to know if you got any cool games under the Christmas tree. And I'd love to know what you thought of God of War if you got a chance to play Plague's Tale or even Super Mario Odyssey. You can always let me know, thegraveyardgamer@gmail.com, thegraveyardgamer on Instagram, where I'm always posting pics of my gaming journey, and thegraveyardg on Twitter, where I've got comments to say, I got other pictures to post, all that fun stuff. Just reach out to me. And until then, I'll be creeping around the graveyard.